Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's episode of the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I hope you've been enjoying all of our content. We've talked about dating at a lot of different ages, right? But there's one particular age group also that we work with a lot and we hadn't addressed. And I think it's a very large group of people. And it's dating when you're in your 30s and you're professional and you're successful and you're now realizing, wow, I think I'd like to find the lid to my pot. I think I'd like to maybe get married. I think I'd maybe like to have kids. So I am bringing you this week's love story, which is a wonderful former client who is now engaged, spoiler alert, and I'd like to call her a very good friend as well. I'm happy to have my good friend, Nikki, who is planning her wedding. Nikki, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Very exciting time.
Oh my gosh. So how is wedding planning going?
It's going. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
We're getting there, but it's a lot of pieces to pull together. So I'll be excited when we've made a few more decisions, have that date, but it's fun. It's very fun. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, can you ever imagine yourself 5 years ago being in this place right now? Let's kind of go back. Let's reminisce a little. So you, dear listener, know how did we meet?
So I feel like the first time we met, I always think at least, I mean, now it all kind of runs together, but I think it was at a holiday party with work and you were the plus one because I actually worked with Andy. I remember you shared what you did for work and I just glued myself to you for the rest of the party because I was probably in my early mid 20s at the time, was doing everything Chicago had to offer when it came to dating. And so when you said that you were a coach in that space, I was fascinated and obviously we totally hit it off and you're just such a ray of light as well. So yeah, I think it was at a holiday party back probably around 2008, 2009, something like that.
Wow. Okay. And so you're right. It was 2008, 2009. Well, probably a little bit after that. I started in 2009. So yeah, let's say it was more than 10-ish years ago. So between the time that we met, kind of take us through, you know, what your life looked like as a city girl dating, what was going well, what wasn't, like, you know, just kind of give us the background.
Yeah. So Chicago in my 20s was in many ways, you know, the best time. I had really, you know, great jobs. At the time I was really focused on careers. So I was, you know, sort of often thinking about life through that lens. So I was doing cool things for work, you know, had come out of undergrad, was kind of before grad school at that point. And so just really heads down and doing interesting things that I really loved. I had a great group of girlfriends who I'm still close with today in a lot of cases. And so, you know, we were just taking advantage of everything the city had to offer, traveling all the time. You know, I think they probably would have put a limit on how often we were going to Nashville if they could have at some point. We just, it was a time to be alive. And, you know, we all were trying to date, I think, as well. But I, you know, emphasize the word trying because it just was not, I think we all, sometimes we've reflected on it since, you know, we loved being a group and we sort of had our relationship as a reference point, you know, girlfriend relationship. And so would talk a lot about these dates. And it was like, if it wasn't, you know, the most amazing, most fun, you know, could beat hanging out with each other for, you know, a night, right? Then there was a lot of pressure to think about whether or not you wanted to keep pursuing it. So I think we were, you know, trying to date, but probably didn't have the right tools and then not prioritizing it I think in hindsight, as much as, you know, work or the fun things we were doing together. So it was definitely a good time of life. But as much as I thought I wanted to be in a relationship, I'm not sure I was really putting, you know, putting that front of mind or putting the effort in as much as I could have been.
Well, I love what you're saying, that it's like dating sort of fits in around activities with friends and work as priorities and school. And then when you do go out on a date, you want to feel that, oh my God, overwhelming chemistry, overwhelming fireworks. Otherwise, it's like, meh, back to the pond.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And obviously, you know, you want to feel something, but yeah, I think what that something should feel like, and probably also was influenced a lot by, you know, I was more, I hadn't dated a ton at that point, like real relationships. So it was a lot of like the rom-coms of my, you know, middle school years that probably also were influencing, you know, yes, what you expected. And so, yeah, it was, I think, the little bit misaligned in terms of what would be realistic for a first or second date.
Well, I always say that, right? It's like so many people come to us and you're, you know, lucky that you figured this out at such a young age. But sometimes in our 40s, 50s, 60s, even, it's like we're expecting that whoosh. And if we don't feel that excitement right away on the first date, we're very ready to throw someone back to the pond, right? Because that's what social media, that's what Hollywood rom-coms, right? And that's what our single friends tell us, like, oh, if you're not feeling anything, forget about it. Because let's see who else, you know, is in my inbox this morning. And that's so often not the right decision, but we'll come back to that in a little bit. So if this resonates with you, and if your picker is broken, I'll just tell you, don't worry. It's not your fault. Almost everybody's picker is broken, and it requires a little bit of introspection, maybe, right, having a coach or somebody walk you through this process to become more conscious of what it is you want. So what are the other things that you were doing? I love how you talked about some vintage dating concepts. What were you doing during this time?
I mean, I definitely, you know, I feel like I was doing everything. Like it was sort of this obsession, or at least everything in a category of things, which was like the pool, you know, like where can I find people? I feel like we back in the day had talked about, like when we were starting, you know, the coaching engagement, the like meeting people in real life. And occasionally, again, with the girlfriends, we'd, you know, get that going. But more often than not, all the dating apps were starting to come out around that time. I guess like truly apps were still new. The websites were like where I sort of started that dating career. And so it was like, you know, originally Match. And I remember like writing long messages to people like, you know, dear so-and-so, and then like signing it, you know, like you're actually emailing
like a letter
back and forth.
Yeah. Like a letter.
Yeah. And then there was something, this website called How About We. I don't know if you remember this, but it was
sure
like,
do. I know the founder of How About We.
Date. Like, I actually like that one. It was like date concepts. So, you know, the kind of take all the back and forth of the planning, like, oh, we should meet up. What do you like to do? I don't know. What do you want to, you know, it was like, hey, do you want, I think it was like, hey, do you want to go do this thing, you know, on this date? Like, go.
How
ice
about
dating.
We? Yeah. How about we take trapeze lessons together, right? And if you're up for a meetup like that, let's do it together. So I like that because it takes a lot of the pressure off of dating, but there is no more how about we?
No. Yeah, that was one of the good ones to me. But then like Match had events. So I remember going to, you know, it wasn't really speed dating. I think it was more like singles events. I definitely did speed dating. I did Catholic speed dating. I did matchmaking, you know.
Well, you did. You did matchmaking also. I don't know that I knew that about you, Nate.
Mm-hmm. Not very long, but, you know, one of those, or I think it was matchmaking or something where it's like, you know, they have a list of clients. There was a specific champagne bar that you would go to and, you know, meet up with people. So, yeah, you name it. Like OkCupid was a big one. There's not as much story around that, but you know, it's funny how much that's changed. Cause I think I probably spent 2 or 3 years on those types of sites before the, you know, Bumbles and Hinges and Coffee Meets Bagels and Tinders came around. But yeah, I was everywhere. Anything that, you know, seemed like, again, thinking about like ways I was sort of not investing correctly, like that seemed like I was putting a lot in, but it was a lot of the same, like more places to find profiles, you know, or candidates. statement.
Right, right, right. And all the while, so you and I had already met, we met at a cocktail party, and then years go by and you're doing all of these cool things. And then at a certain point, I always say life gives us an inflection point, right? It's like that moment in time where things change. What made you kind of sit back and go, okay, I think it's time to do this. I think it's time to change things up, because you had tried matchmaking, you had tried speed dating events, the apps, meeting people in real life, taking trapeze lessons. How about we? So what was that moment where you're like, okay, and how old were you-ish?
Well, it's funny because I think, you know, there was a moment, but there were also a few other sort of big chunks in there. One of, and this is hilarious, this is another thing you'll probably say you didn't know, and it's not totally true, but I went to grad school somewhere in the middle, and I had known people, actually, again, from the coworkers that we knew in common, you know, people that had met people at business school. So part of me was also like, oh, business school, like that'll be the chance, you know, like I should go to business school to meet someone. I went to business school for my career, but like in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, maybe that would also be a way to, you know, bunch of people from all over the place, somewhat like-minded.
Your MBA would turn into an MRS, as
yep,
I say.
Yep, I would say that too, aloud. But that didn't happen. And then I moved to LA, and I think it was, you know, just a lot of change initially and a lot to sort of get settled into. And so there was just a period where I was still dating technically, but I was even further almost from being ready, because I was just, you know, adjusting to all these new variables, post-grad school, being back at work, different industry entirely, different city, you know, meeting new friends. And so I think finally, it's funny because it was like the end of 2019, which we all know, you know, that timing was important for a different reason, but end of 2019, not knowing a pandemic was coming the next year. I think I finally sort of had settled into my life here. And, you know, when you look back on, as I would say, like as somebody who's very achievement oriented, to look back on whatever that was then, almost, you know, 10 years of trying to date, probably from about 24 to 34 with really nothing to show for it, I was like, okay, this, like, if this was anything else in my professional life, I would seek outside counsel, because a 10-year track record with no results is not really I probably wouldn't still have that job, you know, if that was a job. So I think it was just like, it had been long enough, and I was, you know, getting older, like obviously thinking about timelines for kids and stuff, right? Like it was just like, yeah, something has to change, because clearly I'm not succeeding at this on my own.
Right, right, right. So you engaged us in 2019, pre-COVID, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. The fall. So amazing that it's been, you know, 3-ish years almost exactly. And so you fly to Chicago and you start this process. Tell us a little bit about, you know, about what that started for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I've told, you know, many people, or I've reflected this back to different people over the years since. So there's, you know, a few kind of lessons when I really think back on it, that are changes that I think came out of working with you and with Lindsay and with the process. Because I did need to sort of shift a few. There are a few big things about how I was trying to date and what I was expecting from dating that I think weren't quite working. So one of the big learnings for me was, I was very, you know, and I think I've now mentioned a couple of times that, like, professionally, I work in business, you know, at some point in the LA job, actually, I was very much building a team, used to, like, you know, reviewing the resume and trying to figure out, okay, should we bring this person in for an interview, a second interview, you know, so this, like, process of, let me look at something on paper and try to decide yes or no, you know, get a long ways towards the decision just from paper. Like the apps had all also, you know, from in a dating sense, that sort of set that same construct up, right? Like, oh, if I just know whether they smoke or not, or want kids or not, or what they put for their religion, or, you know, like, then I can quickly narrow it down. And so I can, you know, be very targeted in these dates that I'm going on. And so one of the big things that I think from the Smart Dating Academy process and working with you guys was just realizing I need to actually get to know people, not profiles. Like maybe you screen to some extent, but if I was screening out, 90% just based on a two-dimensional view, like let's, cut that in half or cut that in, cut that down by some percentage where you're going out with more people and meeting real people, more real people, less, profiles. So I think that was one of the first things, just like thinking about the funnel and thinking about, how many interactions, like real interactions I was having. That was one of the big shifts for me among a couple others, but yeah.
It's looking at, and like you're saying, developing your dating funnel. And it's so easy to get stuck on the quantitative things, right? How old is he? What are his degrees? How much money does he make? And here, what you started to do is, well, we call them high GHQ guys, right? So you go through this process, you know the kind of partner that's going to make you happy. And now it's being more conscious of who you're letting in. And then my guess is, and you can certainly tell us about this more, it's not being so quick to throw people back to the pond if we're not feeling that elusive, and I put this in air quotes, it right away, where you're like, wow, okay. So tell us about that. Did it change? You're building this funnel and now you're evaluating people more holistically and giving the whole person a chance.
Yeah. And I think the thing I totally agree. And you're totally on the right, track with where it went next. But I think of another piece of kind of the early part of the process with you, that like was even sort of more transformational and how to think about that. Because I remember, thinking about kind of rules around how many dates and stuff like that. But I think what really connected with me on like, how do I actually evaluate once they're in the process, was an exercise that we had done around like people in your life who really make you happy, like your elevator people, and thinking about who those people are. And I remember, if I would put a paper profile together of who those people were for me, it's like, you couldn't pick out of a crowd, or I wouldn't have guessed that that's what their stats would have been, or that's who those people would have been. And there was not really that much in common in terms of, their demographics or whatever, right? It was all about how they made me feel and how they treated me and, things that the big point here is like also things that had developed over a long time, right? Like some half the people on the list that were like my most treasured people. And I feel like we all have these stories. It's like when I first met them, I thought they were like this, or I, wasn't sure if we were going to hit it off, or it, took a while for like that person didn't, walk into my life as my best friend. That person became my best friend over time and over these, interactions that really, it was about how they showed up, not who they were on, paper, or even initially how we sort of interacted with each other. So I think just like for me, reframing that, you don't get that just instantly, and you can't see it. And you have like real lived examples in other relationships where it took a while. I think that was for me the key to then understanding, okay, I'm looking for different things. I'm giving it different time, like, but I think to what you're saying too, like somebody who's sort of showing up consistently, doing small things that show a bigger version of who they are versus what they're saying, or, the conversation or whatever. Yeah. Just kind of thinking on those other relationship examples in my life and then thinking about, okay, well, if I was looking for a best friend, not a partner, how would I think about that? It probably would look different than how I was treating dating. And on some level, dating is really looking for a best friend. So
I love that. I always say once we go through that list and figure out who your elevator people really are, it's like, okay, here's, you want to find an elevator person who you'd want to sleep with. Basically, it's pretty simple at that point. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're right. It takes time for those things to develop. And you know what your green flags are, but also then understanding what red flags are around the process as well that get people screened out. And what's really interesting and important during this process is knowing, okay, if my picker's broken, great, I can have elevator people. Okay, great. But what I've really realized over the last decade is when we're acclimated, when we're used to having people with red flags around us, we don't even feel the red flags, right? So holding people's hands through this process of going, yeah, no, that is a red flag, right? Sometimes our skin becomes so thick over time of dealing with toxic people that we don't even know what a red flag is. is. So, so back to how you, okay, so now you consciously know you're going to look for an elevator people. What changed? I really remember our first meeting at the Four Seasons and where we were really talking about, okay, how do you present yourself during a date? What do you, tell us about that meeting and what you remember.
Yeah, that was, I think if there were three things, that was sort of the third thing, this like, you know, how do you start filling the funnel? How do you, what am I looking for? But then to your point, I think there was also this, how, what am I projecting? How am I showing up kind of personally on the date? And to the earlier comment, I was a little bit conscious of this before we met at the Four Seasons that, you know, maybe I am kind of interviewing or, you know, decide, like, I feel like I'm trying to decide something versus like, I am also being evaluated or being, you know, I'm, it's not even an evaluation, but you know, at that time I was so like in this, you know, rubric world of decisions or whatever. And so I think I was, you know, coming across potentially pretty intense and not necessarily like getting, you know, getting the second date, not thinking as much about getting the second date as deciding if I wanted to have the second date. And I also would talk a lot about work. So that was, I remember very distinctly that you guys asked me to do a demo of how I would talk about my job. And I was like, well, the American healthcare system is very broken. And I was like, you know, I like my eyebrows were all, you know, intense looking. And you played the video back to me. And I was like, oh my goodness. You're like, would you go up to that person at a cocktail party? I was like, probably not. She looks a little intense. I'll just keep using the word intense. So being like a little, I mean, there's part of me that's like snarky. There's part of me that's, you know, there's a lot of things where I'm not full, like as bubbly as your amazing personality. Like I truly, you know, that's very authentic for you. And I had to find my authentic, you know, a version of my authentic personality, but it certainly wasn't, you know, being the evaluator of 15 interview candidates or talking in depth about, you know, my views on the healthcare system. So yeah, I had to become a little lighter and a little bit more, you know, this is a two-way street in how I was showing up as well.
Right. And sometimes we're never given that feedback, right? We're only given feedback, to your point, in the business world about, okay, you do X, you're evaluated on X, and suddenly, okay, it's all performance driven and you get a promotion and you're like, okay, that's great. I must be doing a great job. So I'm going to put my head down and be more intense and be more directive. And so it's the self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And we think, well, if that's working, I'm going to do more of that. Like the healthcare system is very broken and these are my opinions on it. And suddenly it's like, wait a second, as women, what I want, if you're a woman listening to this and this resonates with you, this isn't about becoming less authentic, right? Because remember, we are not our jobs. We are not our careers. Women are like diamonds. Okay. And what do diamonds have? They have many facets. And so often because we've been successful in the business world that, and that's where we spend most of our time, right? And then we get self-esteem. So we keep doing that. We think that's the only facet that we have, but it's like, think about who are you when you're with your elevator people? Who are you when you're with your family, with your 100-year-old grandma who you love? Who are you? Are you, you know, State of the Union, Nikki? No, you're fun. Grab a glass of wine and putting that facet forward. And that's what we want you all to think about is who is that version of yourself? You don't necessarily want to bring HR you or CEO you, not that there's anything wrong with that person, you know, dear sir or madam listening to this. It's that you're looking to make a personal connection here and you want to bring that facet of you that is both interested, that looks approachable and is interesting to other people.
Yes, it's really good advice. And I was pretty far off the mark by the time you found me on some of that, or at least it would vary a lot by like another thing I was sort of became conscious of was I would take other people's energy. This is still something that I do at times. And so it's like, if the other person was like that, then maybe it would be easier for me. But as soon as the other person was, you know, more serious or like there was an awkward moment or whatever, right, then what was I turning on kind of at those times? And so, yeah, that was a huge turning point for me to sort of realize all of that.
I'm so glad you said that because what Nikki's saying is exactly true. We all, to an extent, we feed off of each other's energies, right? And so with that, understand you have power to create the energy, to create the atmosphere. When you switch to that facet of you that's warm you, date you, playful you, you have what's called a mood quotient. And you can bring that mood quotient to a person when you show up with the bright light version of yourself. And for Nikki, that might be different than it is for me or Lindsay, her dating coach, or somebody on the street. But when you bring that version of yourself that is really authentic and interested and positive, you will elevate and change the mood of the room. The best metaphor I can give you is think about yourself as the power of a chandelier, right? A chandelier can be switched on and suddenly it makes the room so much more beautiful and bright. And you have the power to be that chandelier by just turning that switch on in yourself. And instead of, like Nikki's saying, reacting to the mood of someone that you're with, instead saying, I'm going to bring the brightness and I'm going to be the chandelier for this date. So that's such a powerful thing that you just said.
Yeah, no, I love that analogy. And it's funny when you and I talked, I remember about me starting up with the coaching in general. You said, you know, this can have like an impact on many parts of your life. Like I know people that it's really helped them in their careers as well. And I think like even, you know, that lesson around being like a mood elevator yourself, right? Like that, I think that has applicability even outside of dating. So I love that.
Oh, well, you are a total elevator person. I always love chatting with you. And that's why you were on this podcast with me. So tell us, you came to Chicago. We have these you do your photo shoot. You have a new profile. What kind of a response did you get? Was it different than before with online dating?
I think it was, yeah. It's funny because this is not your exact question, but immediately when you brought up the new profile, and my fiance and I were just talking about this recently, there were all these, in helping anyone redesign their profile, you guys have these great prompts. And I tend to, you know, one of my, like, the playful side of me, one part of that is, you know, kind of trying to be a little bit creative or clever or something. So I can't remember if it was like an actual prompt or how this came about, but we ended up updating on, I think it was on Match specifically, because there was like this more sort of open text, you know, you could put something up about like to engage people. And we put, and I didn't have anything like this before this process, we put this whole description of me that was like, I'm small and sporty, but reliable and da da da. Like, I guess you could say I'm like my first car, the Honda Civic. So, you know, what car would you be or something? That was, you know, it was like describing me and it was like my first car. And then what kind of car would you be? And my fiance sent a line about Seinfeld that he's like, I don't know if I'd be this car, but it's like a Seinfeld reference, John Boyd's Buick. So that was what, you know, made it happen, that there was this like more clever headline. Obviously the pictures were way better and that was amazing too. But I think like even I remember another part of that exercise and like the being interesting, showing your facets. It was also about like putting really specific things about you. So not just I like to do yoga, but like I went to Sicily on a yoga retreat, you know, in September, like so people would have things to comment on. So I think between this like headline and the, you know, more specific examples, it was helpful to not only get more interest, but I think to get like qualified or, you know, people that were willing to sort of do the same, people that were willing to engage.
Well, I love that you said that because women will always say like, oh, guys don't even read your profile. And here in comes Lucas into your inbox. He's like, wow, look at this hot dish, Nikki. Okay. And he reads your profile and he responds to something funny in a way, and you loved his sense of humor. You're like, okay, the Buick, this is amazing. So good men will read your profile, ladies, and they will do this. Lucas didn't have a dating coach.
He did not.
No, right.
Those one-liners were all his own.
Exactly. Right. He's in aerospace. Right. So he's not a stand-up comedian, but when you give somebody little tidbits about you to respond to, when you're thinking about your profile, think about putting in these one-liners that become like cocktail party conversation, right? That a good guy or a good woman will have something to go, oh, well, that's interesting. I am blah, blah, blah. And it just makes the conversation more interesting and more playful. So in comes this guy, right? And we're like, okay, he was one of many.
He was, yes. And I think at that time, I was still trying to, that was part of the funnel, or like the, you know, bachelorette style vibe, like have some options in the mix. So yeah, I think I was still dating a few other people at that time. Although I remember it also being a time that was getting kind of busy for me in my personal life. And so that was an interesting dynamic, because that was one of the ways early on that he sort of started to show up was, you know, and he was actually finishing grad school at the time too. And so we were both like in this busy season. We kind of were seeing each other like once a week. And it was, you know, sometimes like, oh, I'm going to be flying back from San Francisco. What about a hike? You know, or like I have friends in town, like, could we do brunch? So, you know, it was like more of these like low key dates. And you really like, we both really had to be committed to making it happen, because it wasn't like super easy or, you know, like prime time options, or like it could even go, you know, really fast out of the gates if we had wanted it to. You know, I think through the process, I learned that like super, you know, the love bombing potential, or the really hot and heavy, like you're not really even looking for that. But very early on, the fact that there were some barriers, we also, by LA standards, it was sort of a long distance relationship, because it was like a 40 to an hour commute between our houses. So, you know, that was one of the things that actually did stand out was, hey, you know, despite the fact that things are busy and, you know, that it's not like a just walk out the door and meet up for drinks, you know, on a Tuesday night, we have to really be planful, but that we actually did that. I think that was one of those kind of good signs that he's looking for something, you know, more serious, and he's willing to show up in that way.
That's great. And he was consistent and reliable, and you followed the slow trajectory of we're not fast dating here. We're slow dating here. We're a date a week. Over time can become a couple dates a week, then can become three dates a week. And then you became exclusive. Like, share, is there a fun story around how you guys decided that?
You know, it was pretty, quick in this, you know, in the context of this, like, date a week, slow start kind of thing. And it wasn't, you know, when we first met, and I've told him this, that, you know, going back to where we started on the, like, how should it feel? What did it feel like? He felt very, like, he felt like home to me very early. Like, I couldn't quite put my finger on that. That's what it felt like, you know, and that's different than sparks, or like, we have to go have another drink and another one, and we're gonna, you know, shut the bar down or whatever. But it just felt very comfortable, very familiar, very safe, and, you know, sort of the best way. So that part was like clear to me early on. But there were things, you know, I mentioned some of the kind of like time and distance hurdles that we had to think about. But then also, he's more introverted than I am, more like into at home things. Like, at that time, I was still, you know, kind of coming off that business school, like, I have to go to 14 countries in business school, or I have to, you know, see everything and be at the Troubadour on a Tuesday. And, you know, like, I'm like a social maximizer historically. So some of that was what I was like learning about and feeling out in the dates, was like, okay, I feel like I could trust this person. I feel like he's a really good person. We have sort of different styles, but in terms of being excited about it and feeling like we wanted to be exclusive, that was like the fifth date, which was, you know, maybe a month and change in after a comedy show. And it was nothing like crazy big story, but it was a pretty easy yes, I think, from both of us, that we were sort of tracking along on the same page. And then we just started dating from there. And you know, to the point around like different styles and feeling that out, I always like to say that, so I did not cook at all before meeting him. at all. So like, I think our fourth date maybe was making pizza together. And he's like, we can do it at your place. I was like, okay, great. He's like, do you have flour? I was like, I don't think so. He's like, do you have a rolling pin? I'm like, could we use a wine bottle? He's like, do you have salt? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty old. I think it's from when I lived in Chicago. So he just like bought everything from the grocery store, like down to the, you know, brought his own pans, brought his own like equipment, came over to my place and, you know, made it there. And so it's actually been really fun because now we love to cook together and there's a lot of other things like, you know, but we also like host dinner parties with our friends. And there's just ways that our kind of two lives have come together that I think that was a lot of the story of, you know, the, we dated almost 2 years before moving in because of the pandemic, but you know, over that time, and as you're getting more and more serious, it was sort of figuring out, okay, we really care a lot about each other. How do these pieces fit together in our life here? And then, you know, how do we think about, you know, long-term and are we aligned on those things as well?
Totally. And for those of you listening who work with us and have listened to us, I know you hear us talking about, nope, don't, you know, go to each other's houses and cook, or we're not going to get exclusive until 15 dates, but understand that as part of our process, right? We know, and Lindsay was following your relationship closely and knowing, okay, I know Nikki really well, and I can get a good gut on this guy, which is why we do what we do at Smart Dating Academy. So if you're going, wait a second, I thought blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? There's always, when you're in this one-on-one, this is what we do, is we will help you say, okay, you know what? At date four, this dude's really good news. And this is a really good bet for you. And yeah, it's going to stretch you out of your comfort zone because you don't have any flour at your house. So if this guy is willing to do this, that's fine. And you know better than, because you've been taught, it, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to sleep together, right? Yeah. That means that we're going to make pizza together. So if you're listening to this going, but wait, I've been following your rules. It's okay. The rules can be different based on who you are, who the guy is. And that's the beauty of having someone who's following your process in the way Lindsay was following.
I realized I misspoke because this date was after we were exclusive, the home date. So we were even following the rules in that regard.
Well,
it's been too long. I get my dates. I think that was more like date six. Now that I think about it, I think date four was when we went to brunch and saw Tyra Banks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Did she smize at you?
I think she was facing him. And he was like, I think I know that lady. And I was like, who
is that? Who's that? Who's that? And so tell us about this relationship with the Lidier Pot, with Lucas. You guys navigated COVID and it seems like it brought you closer together. And tell us where you are now.
Yeah. Yeah. The COVID chapter was really interesting for us. Just a quick aside on that, because, you know, I think people had all different flavors of what did COVID do to your relationship, you know, like, yeah. Did it accelerate it? Did it blow it up? You know, were you like driving each other crazy because now you're constantly together, you know, whatever those different versions were. And for us, we'd been dating maybe 5 months at that point, and five, six. And he was working like in person. He was an essential worker because he was in a manufacturing setting. And so we actually stopped seeing each other in person for like a month or two. So wow. We did cooking dates online, and like we did, you know, trivia with friends in other cities online. I remember we did like a walk, and you know, we're socially distanced in our like bandanas and just like hugged each other at the end. But like, he really did not want to, he was worried he would get exposed, did not want to give it to me. So I was like crazy, you know, to kind of have to go all the way back, which probably, you know, to your point, kind of solidified things, or, you know, it really like forced us to be sure about the friendship part, or like really brought that to light, right? That, you know, even if we can't be together, we can, you know, it's still worth it to, you know, have this connection, and we'll figure out ways to make it feel like we are, you know, spending time. That was really interesting. But yeah, you know, I think it was kind of probably like the year and a half mark when really, you know, he was finished with school. We had you know, been kind of coming out the other side of the pandemic, had been dating a long time, had started to meet each other's families, which, you know, that was a bit postponed because of COVID as well.
Sure.
And that was the point when, you know, we just, I think, making sure that we were on the same page about what we wanted longer term. Those were kind of the conversations to revisit. A lot of times I'll talk with girlfriends about how, you know, it's funny in the beginning of a relationship, when you talk about those things, people will say something, right? Like, oh, I want to be married, or I want kids, or I want to live in this place, or I'm open to this thing, right? But then like a year and a half in, when it's like, this is not just in theory, this is like, do we want to do that? Do we want that now? We want that on this timeline, right? And so kind of going back to those foundational conversations. And once we, you know, sort of did that and were on the same page, then decided to move in, which was a good, like, can we actually, you know, do this around the clock? We were still living far apart most of the time we were together. So it was easier to, you know, just spend more time together, frankly, by cutting out the commute.
Yeah.
And we did that for about a year before talking about getting engaged. And that was the surprise this summer before we took off on an awesome trip to Italy. So did a nice, just intimate home proposal before we had a week together on the Amalfi Coast, which was like the most romantic place to celebrate our engagement. And yeah, we're working on this wedding now. So to your point, I think 5 years ago, I would not have, did not fully believe. I had hoped, you know, that I would be telling a story like this one, but I didn't know, you know, how quickly it would happen, or if really the, you know, kind of that 10 years of my 20s trying and failing in my mind to, you know, meet somebody. I wasn't sure if I would meet someone. And so I'm super excited and grateful to you and Lindsay, obviously, and for the process, and just looking forward to the next chapter.
Oh, that's amazing. And Nikki said so many great things, but I want to take the time to just expound on those a little bit, right? We get exclusive, we think we're on track. And like she said so accurately in the beginning, a lot of people will say, yes, I want to get married. Yes, I want to have kids in theory. But as you go through this process, and I remember having a few conversations with you along the way through the relationship, it's like, okay, now it's time to have those conversations. Do you see yourself marrying me? Do you want to have kids with me? Do you, and making sure that you are aligned on this and moving towards that, you're valuing the same things, you have the same timeline. So that is so important, not to make those assumptions, right? And to do those check-ins, like, yes, it's great that you said you wanted to get married. Do you want to marry me? And having, and that requires courage. And that requires being with someone that you feel like you can have those conversations with. And if you're listening to this and you feel like, oh my gosh, like I've never had the guts or the courage to have that conversation, I promise you, you can. And you can be in a relationship where you feel safe enough and you're looking at like the mile markers, essentially, like, did we check this off? Check this off? Check this off? Okay. Do you want to marry me? And then holding yourself and your partner accountable to meeting those timelines in a way that you're both happy with and comfortable with. Because I think if you don't have those conversations, so much time can whittle by and you're like, wow, but well, I just assumed in the beginning that he said he wanted to get married and now we're 4 years into this. And now he's like, well, no, I've changed my mind. And now what? You've got this sunk cost on your books for 4 years at this point. I can speak this language with you.
Yeah, no, well, and I think, I mean, the other part that two other things of what you're saying in there that were really important to me too, is, you know, I actually realized that I was as much like, hey, this isn't theoretical more. This is real anymore. This is real. That was as much true for me as, you know, anyone in the relationship, right? Like that I had to actually be sure that those are the things I wanted. Like the kids example, you know, coming back to this, the premise of, you know, your career and your like, you know, I there's a lot of stuff in my life that, you know, I really love and I'm very conscious of what a big commitment that will be at some point. Right. And so like, it could have been that I was the one that said, you know, I'm not sure anymore. Right. Or, you know, I was in some ways
totally. Having to
kind of confirm that for myself. So I think like knowing what you want and what you need for real, not just because, you know, like I was so fixated on just getting in a relationship and I hadn't really had real relationship experience that like there was a bit of, hey, I got to like actually, you know, catch up to like what this all means, you know, before I just continue my little project management timeline as well, you know? So I think there's this like being able to articulate your own wants and needs and maybe how that's like evolving, you know, given that you're actually in a real situation versus a theoretical. I think that that's really important. So, you know, there was a kind of just resetting in my own place as well that had to happen.
Yeah. And Nikki just said something again that is really important. If this resonates with you and you feel like you don't have a lot of relationship experience, right? It's okay. At any age, right? You can still find the lid to your pot, but getting help around whatever it is you need with that. For some people, that might be trauma therapy. For some people, you know, that's regular talk therapy. For some people, it's, yeah, I need a lot of help in the intervention around this, like who gets in, who gets out, and having somebody to kind of shepherd you through the process and laugh with and be positive with and give people nicknames and throw them back to the pond. Then that's certainly, you know, more along the lines of what we do at Smart Dating Academy. So just know that if that resonates with you and you don't, a lot of people come to us like, okay, I've never really been in love, or, you know, I haven't had a serious boyfriend over 2 or 3 months. It's okay. And some people come in saying, I've been married 5 times and I still haven't got this right. No matter where you are in your process and at what age, there's always hope for you to find the lid to your pot.
I agree.
We're fountains of hope, aren't we, Nikki?
Yes. I can't say enough. I can't reiterate enough the things that you're saying, because I think, like I kind of started out at the beginning, you know, there was a lot there that I was doing right, but I think kind of changing a few of these assumptions and really sharpening the pencil on how to show up in this process, it makes the difference, and it makes it, you know, makes it possible. It makes things that I didn't think were possible. So.
Oh, I love this. And you have friends with similar stories.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, going through this process and, you know, when I talk about like those, the girlfriends of my 20s, and it was a little bit the blind leading the blind, all of us single, but giving each other dating advice, you know, I think now that there's more of us actually in serious relationships across all my friend groups, you see the same themes, you know, popping up of kind of what works and what it takes. And it's nice to be able to sort of talk to each other, or sometimes to sort of lend what I know from this process to our conversations.
Oh, and we have some of your friends that have joined us as well and have found success, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, indeed.
Well, listen, if, you know, Nikki is an amazing testament to a lot of things. You can be professional and educated and try a lot of different things and sit back. And what I love is that it took you time from the time that you and I first met at Andy's Christmas party. Gosh, I think, you know, Max, who's now a freshman in high school, was probably not even walking when we first met back in the day. Cause I remember when Andy joined the firm that you guys both worked at. So I remember meeting you. I remember exactly where it was. And I couldn't be more delighted that you did it your way for a while and then realized, maybe I'm going to try it your way and try a different way. And here you are 3 years later and getting to the point where you've got the greatest partner for you, the lid to your pot, and your future is bright. And I'm just so happy to have been a small part of it.
Yes. I thank you again so much, Bella, for this opportunity to share and for everything. When you put it in the context of somebody going from walking to high school, that really does make it feel like it took a little while, but it was the way it was supposed to happen, and it's all worth it in the end. So thank you again.
Is there any last thing that I might not have asked you that you want to, any little gem that you want to share with someone listening to this that can really relate to you?
You know, I feel like we've covered it. It's because it isn't, you know, to me, there's so much that goes into all of this. Relationships are really complicated. Understanding yourself is really, you know, your life's work, right? And so there's, I don't know that there's like one, you know, parting thought so much as just, you know, stay positive through the process, because it is possible, but it takes, you know, all of these different pieces coming together. There's no silver bullet, you know, it's a process, but it's one that is very gratifying, you know, and I think benefits, again, like we talked about, you in many parts of your life, not just when it comes to a partner.
I'm so glad this has benefited you in so many parts of your life, and most importantly, with an amazing fiance. And if I can leave you guys with a note of inspiration based on this chat, it's someday you will be on your last first date. Someday somebody will send you that last first message. And someday you're going to go on a date with the person that, in a healthy way, like Nikki says, feels like home. And I hope that you have enjoyed Nikki's love story, and make sure you check out the show notes. We'll do a cute page that you can look at Nikki and see her cute face and maybe some pictures from her engagement. And until next week, I send you love, hugs, psychotic optimism, a wave of the magic wand, and know that love will come to you. It's a when, it's not an if, and be psychotically damn optimistic for your own love story. Because I know if you're listening to this, someday you're going to be on this podcast telling your own love story. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.